Translation. O Chandramukha, please give me 10,000 Gandavas. Let them sing as I dance, and then I will be greatly happy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Gandavas, who are residents of Gandharva Loka, are celebrated as celestial singers. Whenever singing is needed in the celestial planets, the Gandavas are invited to sing. The Gandavas can sing continuously for days, and therefore Vakeshwara Pandit wanted to dance as they sang. Translation. Chandramukha, please give me 10,000 Gandavas. Let them sing as I dance, and then I will be greatly happy. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militanjena Tasmashi Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nittinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschachadi Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Koroti Vachalam Pangalangayat Kirichat Kripata Mahamandeshi Guru Dinatharinam. So I take the blessings of senior devotees here. I can say a few words. I don't particularly feel qualified to sit on this elevated seat of Vyasadeva, but somehow or another they always ask me to speak. I'm not sure why. So here we are studying one of the branches of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I believe it's the fifth branch. So up to now we've been described Nityananda's branch, Advaita's branch, and now we come to Vakeshwara Pandit's branch. So Vakeshwara Pandit is famously known for his dancing. Dancing is a very, very important aspect in Krishna consciousness. When I first used to come to Krishna consciousness many, many years ago in the 70s, some of you might remember the slogan used to be chanting, dancing and feasting. That used to be the slogan that we used to attract the newcomers. Chanting, dancing and feasting. Everyone likes to chant. We saw Srinivas kicking it up there in Guru Puja. No one could keep their legs steady. He got the bhava, everyone's legs. They wanted to dance, and even when we stopped, we could feel we wanted more. Loyam, we wanted more. So we like dancing. We like chanting. And of course, it goes without saying, we like feasting, isn't it? So this is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's simply based on this. Once Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you will miss it. It's so simple, you will miss it. So Krishna consciousness, although we need to philosophize a little bit, although we need to understand the tattva, actually, the real essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very simple. It's simply chanting and dancing and feasting. And if we study Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that's all he did. And that's how we empowered his different branches. That's all they did. Wherever Lord Nityananda went, he induced people to chant, to dance. Wherever Gadada went, Srivas Thakur, famously known as the ecstatic kirtans that were having daily in his houses. So Vakeshwara Pandit, he used to satisfy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his expert singing. It is said that his singing was so attractive, so wonderful, that It would melt stone. So can you imagine that this voice is so powerful that by singing, there's like a, I'm not very good at singing, probably some of you know. If I sing, I empty the temple room. But when you sing, there's different notes you can hit, and by singing some of these notes, you can actually melt the stone. And this one actually interesting story, some of you might know in the Ramayana, and it was Hanuman. You know this story? Hanuman, he was quite a mischievous little monkey, and then his mother had just finished building a very, very nice house. So the general tradition is when you finish building a house, then you do a graha pravesh. Graha pravesh is where you invite Vishnu Bhagwan and you stapana and you make that his home. Although we live in it, our griha, our actual house, belongs to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. So then there's a ceremony where devotees are invited. And part of the ceremony is you invite the devotees. So then Narada Muni, he was passing by, and Hanuman wanted Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gonita ki. So Hanuman, he wanted the great sage Narada Muni to come and bless his house. So then Narada Muni was passing by, then he came, and then Narada Muni started hearing this very, very nice song that Hanuman was singing, because Hanuman was also a very, very great singer. So then as he was flying, Narada Muni, he heard this very, very nice, attractive, Gandharvical-like voice, and that was Hanuman singing. So then Hanuman saw Narada Muni come near his house, and then he was singing the glories of Lord Ram. He was chanting how Lord Ramachandra rescued Sita, and Narada Muni was very, very attracted by this. And then he sat down over there, and then Narada Muni took his veena off and he placed it on the stone, and he was listening to Hanuman singing. And then when Hanuman noticed that Narada Muni had placed his veena on the stone, then he started to hit the notes with the special singing that he was singing, so beautiful about Ram and Sita, that the voice that was coming out of Hanuman started to melt the stone. Can you imagine that? Hanuman was singing so nicely the glories of Lord Ram and Sita Devi. His singing started melting the stone. But Narada Muni was completely absorbed in this. And then as Hanuman saw the stone melt, then he stopped singing. And then this brought Narada Muni out of trance. And then Hanuman had finished. So then he went to try and get his veena. The veena had been stuck, melted in with the stone. So then Narada Muni said to Hanuman, can you please hit that note so I can get my veena? What did cheeky little Hanuman say? So then Narada Muni started to say, come on, I have to go to see Lord Narayan. Please, I want to get my veena. And Hanuman said, Then Narada Muni started getting a little anxious. So then he started chasing Hanuman. And Hanuman started running here and there. And Narada Muni was chasing him. And then he came to his house. And then Narada Muni was chasing Hanuman, and Hanuman was watching where Narada Muni was. Then he went inside his house, and he went in every single room, And then everywhere Hanuman went, Narada Muni was chasing him. Here, there, bedroom, living room, the garden. And then finally, when Narada Muni had entered all the different rooms, and he came out, and then Narada Muni was exhausted, and said, Hanuman said, I'll give you your veena now. And then Narada Muni said, what was this all about? He said, I wanted your lotus feet to bless my house. You've seen this sign, bless this house? So Narada Muni had blessed this house. So the idea was then Narada Muni went back, then Hanuman hit those notes again, and then the stone melted. Then Narada Muni took his veena away. So it says the Vrakeshwara Pandit, he was such a wonderful singer, he would bring a lot of happiness to Lord Chaitanya. And it is said that he could dance, not for 1 hour, not for 2 hours. We generally dance from 7 to 7.30, half an hour, quite a long time. Anyone can guess how long Vrakeshwara Pandit would dance for? 72 hours. Now just let that thought sink into your mind. 72 hours. No sleep, no eating, just dancing and dancing and dancing. And in this way, he was so immersed in the kirtan and the chanting that he never felt fatigued. I don't know if anyone's experienced this. Sometimes when you get so locked up into the kirtan, even though you've got a bit of an old, frail body, back, or lumbago, whatever, but once you get into that kirtan, kirtan transcends the body. Once there was one really ecstatic kirtan going at the man, it was one gopanim, everyone was dancing, and there was one senior devotee at the back. And then I said, come on, let's join in. He says, I'm too old for this. Can't do this anymore. But actually, we see even some very, very senior devotees, like Janananda Maharaj, Mahavishnu, even though they got quite older looking bodies, still, they're always dancing and chanting. So this is actually Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It's very, very simple. Sometimes we just make it complicated amongst ourselves. Sometimes we get very, very mental about one thing or another, about the different tattvas. But actually, Lord Chaitanya's movement is very, very simple. Simply just chanting, dancing, and feasting. And here, this particular branch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vrakeshwara Pandit, that's how he propagated his particular mission. So sometimes we wonder when we read this section, whatever happened to Mahaprabhu's branches? There's so many branches which are described. Whatever happened to Nityananda's branch? Whatever happened to Advaita's branch? Does Vrakeshwara's branch even exist now? We know a few of the branches of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what happened to all the other branches? Because the main trunk was Mahaprabhu, and then the other branches were spread out. So where are those branches? Are they still there? Can you still see them? Well, there's two different kinds of explanations. One is that some of these branches that Mahaprabhu gave mercy to the devotees, they didn't always propagate. The mercy was given to them. But as we know, there's two types of devotees. What are they? Yep. Goshtianandi and Bhajananandi. One is the Bhajananandi. They're more internal. They'll just do bhajan themselves. They'll find themselves a little cave or bhajan kurti. And they're very, very happy to do internal bhajan. They don't want any disturbance from anyone. So it is explained that some of those branches of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had that mood. They were more bhajananandis. They weren't always propagating the chanting of the Sankirtan movement, even though that was Mahaprabhu's mood. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Krishna consciousness has a variety of how we want to serve. Then it is explained that some of these other branches, they became asara, useless, because then they were deviated from the teachings of Mahaprabhu. And those branches, it is said, they dried up. So sometimes you see in a tree, some branches, they dry up. So some of the branches which I explained, they actually dried up. And the prime example is Advaita Acharya's branch. So one of, there were two in actually his branch, and one of them, they deviated, and their branch was cut off. And Mahaprabhu, it is explained, he didn't shower any more mercy upon that particular branch. So then there were some others that still carried on, and then they preached. And it's explained that when they preach, they never always had what we kind of see as an organized way of propagating. It is said that even Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they didn't even go door to door. They just did their bhajan. Anyone who came in contact, anyone who knew about the glories, they would come. He would then preach to them, make them disciples. So in that way, the Krishna consciousness movement spread. Once I remember in the 80s, we were traveling somewhere in Mayapur, quite far away somewhere. And then we're visiting different holy places. So normally you go to all the normal holy places, you know, Mamagachi, Narsingapale, Yoga Pit, Bhaktisiddhanta. So this parikram, we decided to go some a little bit off-beaten track. So we went to this one really quiet village, and there was this little sweet kirtan that was going on. So that was really, really nice. So we sat there for a little while. Then as we were leaving, the person, he came and gave us a little prasadam. And then we asked them, oh, this is a very nice kirtan. How long have you been chanting for? And then he says, well, what happened was that many, many years ago, Nityananda Prabhu, he came to our village and he instructed us about Krishna consciousness, and he told us to chant. So then we started chanting. So he said, you chant, then I'll come back and I'll join your kirtan. And since then, we've been chanting. So can you imagine? So sometimes we don't know they're out there, the branches of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is like Nityananda. He went over there. He told them, he was there for a little while. He said, you carry on chanting, I'll be back, don't worry. And they carried on waiting and waiting, and the kirtan just carried on. And up to now, that kirtan is still going on. So that's the way the branches sometimes are there. Then it's explained that over a period of certain time, some of these branches, as we know the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that they started kind of drying up a little bit. And then we know that sometimes the so-called followers of the Gaudiya, they completely twisted, changed things around. And it is said that no respectable person would even connect themselves to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, because people had changed it and twisted. And it was not until Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he came and he started to bring the actual teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is explained that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was trying to find a Chaitanya Charitamrita, he couldn't even find one. That's how obsolete Mahaprabhu's movement had become, that he couldn't even find a Chaitanya Charitamrita. Here we can find one here in the library, here and there. So imagine, you know, Mahaprabhu only a few hundred years ago, he came, he couldn't find his main book. So in this way, slowly, slowly, Bhaktivinoda revived. Then through his own son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Then, as we know, then his famous disciple, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and it is explained that he formed the ISKCON branch, and that is also considered one of the branches of Chaitanya tree. Earlier on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains that. So when Srila Prabhupada established the ISKCON movement, he wrote there certain purposes of ISKCON at the beginning in 1966, and one of the purpose of ISKCON was chanting, to teach and to come together and perform this Sankirtan movement. So there are seven purposes, and one of them was that we should come together and chant the Sankirtan chanting. So Mahaprabhu himself, in his teachings, he left the Shikshastikam prayers, and there he has said that this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for all humanity at large. So we know that the humanity at the moment is in ignorance, it is suffering, but if they come in contact with this Sankirtan movement, then there's a chance of saving them. So when I was traveling, then we had this Harinam with the Harinam Ruchi, and we were traveling, and we had this Harinam on New Year's Eve, and the kirtan was going, and everyone was joining in. It was one of the most ecstatic kirtans, and there was hundreds and thousands of people, and this kirtan, everyone was dancing and chanting, and then I was distributing a few leaflets, and this one person came up to me and said, "Why are these people so happy? What is it about them? Why are they dancing like that?" Then I explained that we chant this special mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By chanting this mantra, we come together, and then by chanting, everyone becomes happy. And the devotees are happy, the non-devotees are happy, the curious people was happy. And at the corner of my eye, I was noticing there was one person, wherever we went, the Harinam went for about 3 hours. He would follow us. So somebody tried to give him a book every now and then. He didn't want to take it. But somehow or another, wherever we went, this person was just following us. So he was attracted to the Sankirtan movement. And another time, we were doing Harinam in Oxford Street, and the Kirtan was going, and I was on the other side of the street, and I was distributing a few leaflets. I think it was Gopanim festival. And I heard these two ladies nattering and chatting away. And these ladies, I overheard them say, "I don't know what it is about those people, but they always seem to be very happy. And I would do anything to be happy just like them." So when we immerse ourselves in this Sankirtan movement, then we can see it has an infectious effect on other people. This Sankirtan movement is so powerful, it has an incredible effect on people. And the dancing, if it's done very, very nicely, in a very attractive way, then this will attract people. Not that everyone, "Come on, let's go for it." If it's done in a very nice, organized way, it's done in a such an attractive way, we all know, Srila Prabhupada taught us all this, the Swami step, if you all sway in one way, then step in another way, all wearing nice, colorful saris, tilak, devotional clothes, and if you go down there, the streets, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going, as Nityananda Prabhu was going, in Navadvipa, Vivekeshwar Pandit, dancing. You can imagine the joy of the residents of Navadvipa, so happy to see this. So we can duplicate this same situation, that if we take this essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we go out there and give it to others, not only you will get the others to join and be happy, but you will also find this Anandam Buddhi Vadanam. And I can tell you, hands flat, I'm not allowed to lie on here, that some of my best moments in Krishna consciousness was when I was out there on Harinam. And this particular one really comes to mind. And we were traveling with Indradumna Maharaj, and we were traveling to Croatia, we were going everywhere, Venice, and then we came upon Sarajevo. So then this devotee, of course, with hindsight, you can, you know, look back and, you know, make kind of comments. But we went, it was Friday afternoon, there's about 150 devotees. And we went down the main drag where all the Muslims were. He didn't tell us that Friday was like their Ramadan, they're all doing their prayers and everything like this. But we went on this kirtan, and for half an hour, everybody was so happy, so blissful, chanting. And still now I remember that experience. It was such a powerful experience. Although it ended in a little bit of a distaste, still, in that situation, you could see all the people, even though they were from different backgrounds, different creeds, different religion, different nation, different country. When they see the happiness of the devotees, they also come and join. Then we, unfortunately, we had a few fanatics that kind of broke it up. So this Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction that will actually help the humanity. Humanity is suffering. You just have to turn on the news. There's so much pain, so much suffering, so much conflict going on. There was another devotee, he was telling me, once he was like in Turkey, and then he was like, he had some books and deities, and I thought this was in the 70s and the 80s, and he was saying that the locals, when they saw these deities, they didn't know what was with the books, so then they put them into jail. So this was, they were in like Istanbul jail over there. There's about two or three devotees. So they were stuck there for a few days. So the first day they were a little bit quiet. They didn't do anything. And the next day they were getting a little bit twitchy. Devotees get a bit twitchy. So then they just started chanting a little bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they just chanted. And the other kind of inmates were all looking, wondering what it was, what's going on over here. So then, then as the other people were showing a little interest, the devotees got a little bit worried, so they kind of stopped. And the guy said, no, we like it. Carry on. What is it? Sounds really nice. So the devotee said, oh, we better be careful. We don't want to wind up the prison wardens, you know. Then they said, no, come on, keep chanting. We like it. Whatever it is, it feels good. So then they started chanting. Then they started chanting. They started banging. They got their cups and everything. Bah, 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 you know. And then the wardens were thinking, what's going on over here? So they came in and they broke it up. Break this chanting, what's going on? It's a bit like the Chan Kazi. So then they told the devotee to stop chanting. And then the devotee stopped, they didn't want to get into further trouble. And as soon as they stopped chanting and started going away, then those prison guys, they started shouting at the warden saying, we like the chanting, we like the chanting, we like the chanting. And the guys were talking amongst each other, what to do, this and that. And they started like banging on the railings and all sorts of stuff. And then And then they came to the devotee, says, "Oh, you better chant, otherwise we're going to get a riot in this prison. I don't know what you've done to these people, but you got them going with this chanting." So the devotee said, and then said, "Okay, can we get our instruments back?" And then they talked among them, said, "All right then." So they brought the instruments and kettles, and they just had this huge big curtain in the prison in the middle of Istanbul, you know. And it's like going, you know, it's going hour after hour. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. So in this way, if we just follow the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whoever you meet, whoever you see, you just simply tell them about Krishna. And you simply just have this Sankirtan movement. There was one lady, I think, I was just reading these letters, I think her name was Susan. So this was at the manor. So she wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and she was saying, "Oh, I have this problem, I have this difficulty, there's this issue in my life." Then Prabhupada wrote a very, very nice letter. He says, "This material world is always going to have so many problems and issues. It's the very nature of the material world. Those of us who think that we can eradicate suffering, those of us think that we can be happy permanently, it's not possible. The material world, the very nature, is we're going to be inflicted by pain. And just because we are devotees, doesn't mean we won't be affected by it. If anything, we get tested. Because when we take the banner of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what happens? We are declaring war against Maya. Because Maya's purpose is to keep us over here. Maya's purpose is to nullify the Sankirtan movement. So the moment we take the banner of Sankirtan movement, then we're going to be constantly thrown obstacles at us." So then Prabhupada just wrote to this lady and said that if we simply chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you will see that your life will change. And these other problems may be there, but they will be insignificant. So the problems might not go away, the problems might be still there, but Prabhupada's point was they will seem insignificant. And he said, "This is the best advice I can give you. There is no other advice I can give you." So he didn't give any kind of material ways he can solve the problem. The only advice he gave, he was giving a very nice kind of a detailed description of what she had to do. And then he said, "You will get this taste, and when you get this taste, everything else will seem very, very insignificant." And sometimes, you know, it happens in devotional service when we perform service day after day. Then sometimes when we, you know, wonder why hairs aren't standing on end, why tears are not flowing. At the beginning, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we get that buzz, isn't it? Do you remember the first time you put that date halava on your mouth? Your taste buds exploded. Do you remember the first time you walked into a kirtan and you thought, "Wow"? I remember the first time I went on the altar and touched Gonitai's spiritual body. I just felt stunned. And for days on days on end, I couldn't stop thinking about Gonitai's form. Now, just doesn't have that same experience. So at the beginning, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna gives us these little bits of taste. When you touch the transcendental body of the deities, when you take prasadam, when you association of the devotees, you get this spiritual bliss. But then afterwards, you have to work to get the rest. We have to be qualified to get the rest. Just like you get a little taste, isn't it, when you go shopping, they give you a little taste of this, that, and then hopefully they'll entice you in. Come on, I know you guys have done it now. So this is how it's done. When you want to attract, you just give them a little taste like this, and they get enticed like that. And then when we perform this, then you'll find the purification within your heart. Sometimes we see how these karmis, they're so dedicated to their work, to their studies, to their whatever they want to do. And they set a certain goal and they'll go for it. And they won't let anything distract them. So in the same way, we have to also imbibe this Krishna consciousness. And then by seeing obstacles, by having doubts, by seeing things that make us, you know, a bit mental. Because sometimes, like, you know, as there's many branches here within the movement of our society, there's many philosophies. Someone is preaching this is important, someone is preaching that is important. Once I counted with a devotee, there's 20 different kinds of philosophies that infiltrate our ISKCON. 20 different types of sub-movements within our ISKCON, or even slightly in the greater. So these things, it's a material world. What can we do about it? In some ways there's nothing. We can't do anything about it. But within ourself, it is up to us. If the change takes place within our heart, then it can change somebody else. Just like once Srila Prabhupada, he was on a plane, he was sitting there, and he just chatted this one person, and then just ordinary chat. Then Prabhupada was talking about simple living, high thinking, and that's it. Then this person never met Prabhupada, never met the devotees. Then many years later, he was on a plane, then he met another devotee. Then he recognized this devotee. He had never seen a devotee after he met Prabhupada. And then he met another devotee in the plane, and he recognized the saffron clothes and things like that. And then started talking and chatting. And then it turned out that this person, who Prabhupada originally met, who was now talking with a devotee, owned a 10,000-acre farm in Australia. And because of the little initial talk he had with Prabhupada, and then he met with this devotee again, then he wanted to sell or give the devotees at a good rate the farm. So that's how it works. Prabhupada met this person, his purity affected this person in one way or another, and then later on the fruits was reaped later on. Sometimes we hear this kind of thing, so many books are going out, but you know, where's the results? We don't see devotees coming, this or that. They might not happen straight away. We have to be very, very patient. Prabhupada called them like time bombs. And then at the right moment, at the right place, at the right situation, it'll take effect. And I can tell you so many stories about how Prabhupada's books, just at the right place, at the right time, has affected somebody. They had it at one point, they chucked it away, they weren't interested in it, but later on, as they went through different things in life, got kicked around, lost their job, got the sack, maybe got a divorce or whatever, and the book was just collecting dust, and then they just picked it up at the right time, and they just read it. And then it affected that person. So in this way, we should never lose heart. We should always be utsahan. You know what utsahan is? Enthusiastic. That's what devotional service is about. Utsahan. We have to be very, very enthusiastic. And by having this enthusiasm, then we can affect someone else. And then they can affect someone else. Then it's like a domino effect. Bum, 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 bum. So that's how it kind of it works. So if we have this utsahan, then we can easily just spread this Krishna consciousness. Because it's predicted by Mahaprabhu, in every town and village, this chanting will be done. It will be performed. It is said that before Srila Prabhupada, he came to the West. After Bhaktisiddhanta passed away, some of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers, they were studying this verse that in every town and village this chanting will be done. So some of them were thinking maybe it's not going to be done in a literal way, because the Gaudiya mission had become a little kind of stagnant at that point. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta had already sent some of his disciples to the West. It didn't seem that came with anything quite tangible. So then they thought maybe it would kind of be something allegorical. Maybe it's not something that will happen. Maybe it's just, you know, just put there, but it won't really happen. But Mahaprabhu's words, whatever the Lord says will happen. So, in conclusion, whenever there's kirtan, like for Keshava Pandit, we should try and dance, be happy, be joyful. Krishna consciousness is susukam, is joyfully performed. And if we joyfully performed it, then we'll be happy. If we feel a little bit kind of miserable in what we're doing, then that's not the right attitude. It should be susukam, joyfully performed. And then these other things, chanting, dancing and feasting will happen. Thank you very much. So I'll stop over here. If anyone has any questions, comments,